Well, good morning, everyone. We've got some people that wandered down from northern Michigan to join us this morning, Val and Colleen. So welcome. We've got many people watching around the world. Usually by the time, there's usually 150 video watches during the weekend, and there'll be about 500 that go in and watch the videos within about a week of when we publish them. So we are assembling. Yep. And thank the Lord for the internet. So technology is wonderful. It's our friend. And so we're glad for that. It makes the news travel faster. And today, this morning's going to be a little bit longer lesson, because after lunch, people start to doze off on me. So, and that's okay. We used to set in classes when I was in the infinite way really closely, and they never were concerned about people sleeping during meditation. And there's people that are in comas that hear, right? So I don't want to question that, right? I'm not going to judge it, okay? Might be a good thing. We all need to go into a coma, don't we? That's how you can get rid of your unbelief. Jesus said, he summed up sin in one word, and it really is one word. It's just unbelief about who you are and about who your Father is. It boils down to that. Behavior is just symptomatic of unbelief. So if you're worried about your behavior, I got news for you. You're never going to win. And we're never going to win trying to correct the world. The world, as we heard yesterday, does not need to be saved. Does it? You need to be saved from your judgment of the world. God so loved the world that he died for the ungodly. Well, who are the ungodly? People that just don't know they're godly. People that don't know their love. Well, how are they going to know if you're judging love? Because that's what you're doing when you judge your brother. So we're not concerned about what we hear on the news. We're not concerned about the people of Syria or Egypt or Afghanistan, are we? The correction has to come within your own soul. That's where love begins its work. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. That's when you begin to feel it. You can't feel love until it's giving. It's flowing out. You can't feel it. You'll never feel it until it's flowing out. It's not about you, yourself, and I. It's never that. That's always the ego. That's why Jesus never, ever said he was God. You are not God. You are love. But God is love. And that's not a paradox. It's who he is. And love doesn't do things to people. Love is who they are. Love isn't doing anything to you. Love is always speaking to you in every one and every event. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like. It's always speaking to your love. And love has patience. Because love doesn't live in a time zone. And today we're going to talk quite a bit about time. And there's those of you that I've been chatting with on Facebook. I've got a wonderful friend that I just love to death, and his name is Corey, and he has got a Facebook site called Kingdom Conversations. Well, he just changed it to Kingdom Love Conversations, okay? And Corey was asking about more teaching on time, and so I want to tell you, we did a whole series on this back in the August conference in 2012. And so if you go in and look for that teaching, it's called Lost in Time. Now, do you remember the old TV show Lost in Space? Yeah. It was fun, wasn't it? And the robot was hell. He was always running out, warning, Will Robinson, warning, warning. Well, that's what our mind does when we're judging the world, is we're worried, we're fussy, we're picky about what we see going on. And I've talked to my wife about this. She really is the most loving person I've ever met. She's taught me love all the time I've been with her. But she has a tendency to worry about things. And I said to her, you know, you are love. But you are love. But you know what you do when you worry is you smother your love to death. It smothers it. It can't get out. So that's where the friction's at. So when you feel any tensity or any frustration at all, you're choking off your own love to the world. And you're no good to anybody because you're consumed by that thing. Whatever it is, however small it is, hers is dripping water. And I said, well, honey, when you're not afraid of that anymore, maybe that we'll quit having drips in the house because ever since we've been here, there's been a drip somewhere. And so I don't worry about it. And she says, Well, you don't care. I said, well, I do, but I'm having trouble keeping up with you and your drips. Okay? I said, so I'll keep going around in love and trying to fix all the drips, right? So I had to add a porch on the back of the house to get rid of a half a dozen of them because we couldn't find them. But all these things come into our life to teach us love. But man always is trying to pray them away to a God that doesn't exist. So if you're praying to a God to change something in this world, you're praying to the God of this world. Now, isn't that a shocker? Everybody's going to have to go get out their Depends when that really hits them. Because our religious mind has been doing that our whole lives. You're ever learning but not coming to the truth. So all the events, everything that comes to us is for our reward, is to bring us to our reward of what we are. So today, this morning, might go a little longer, so we might take a break in the middle of it, depending on how we feel about it, but so today, this weekend, we're talking about the resurrection of love within us. And today, as we're talking about love is eternal. Now, even a lost man believes in heaven somewhere. But that's not where heaven is. The Father said in Revelation 22, the habitation of my love is with man. The habitation of God is with man. That's where the Father is. He's never somewhere else. The omnipresence of love you take with you internally everywhere. And it's in every person. That's where the omnipresence of love is. It's not sitting on a throne somewhere. It's not on some stoop. It's not Santa Claus. It's not. And that's where we've been off. And so when we've said the word God, automatically it takes us somewhere else. The word God itself is something we worship. And you can't worship God. You can't. There is no God out there. There's no God in the world. So the God of the world is an illusion. But we've been praying to smoke, trying to manipulate the circumstances instead of seeing love in the circumstances. That's what will deliver you from fear. If you know everything that comes to you, as we talked about last night, is for you, you won't be afraid of it anymore. Everything is speaking to you in love. And so we wait and we listen, and we look for the nugget. The golden nugget of love is in everything. So what I want you to do, this is an exercise I want you to think about. You can say God. You can say God damn, you've been doing it all your life. You can say that. But I want you to exchange it for the word love. You'll never say love damn, will you? You won't use that in the wrong way. But we've abused the name God, and every religious person in the world has a God. When will we come out and be separate from all of that? And so now we'll be more careful in how we use it. So exchange your God for love. Right? Exchange it for love. And you will begin to understand the resurrection of love without fear. You'll begin to see it everywhere. Because God is love, and that's all He is. Nothing more, nothing less. Very simple, isn't it? So He said, let the little children of understanding come unto Me. Right? And when they get over their sin consciousness, they'll grow up to be young men and fathers. So, I've said before, there's nothing but God, there's only God. And now we're going to say there's nothing but love, there's only love. And that really makes it more pure. There's nothing but love, there's only love. And no man can do anything to change that. That gets us away from the lie of works. It takes, removes us from the lie of free will and free choice. Because you're not who you think you are. Nothing that you do can ever alter love. Not one thing. So I wrote on Facebook, and I said, we've been playing hide and seek with love all our lives. And then one day, love tags you and says you're it. And the game's over. You'll never know who you are until you realize you are love. You'll never know. We've taken our frustrations and our judgment of those around us in the world with us long enough. Don't you think? It's been a long journey in hell. And everyone wants out of that. Everyone. And hell is simply a place where you're never satisfied. It's a place of unthankfulness. That's what hell is. A place of bitching and complaining, gnashing of teeth. Right? Gnashing of teeth. Hello? Gnashing of teeth. So when you go, if you want to go in the scripture now and review all those areas, you'll see it. Jesus said, how will you escape hell to the Pharisees? Oh, He was saying you were there. They were there. How will you escape hell? And when the rich man died, he asked for water to cool his tongue. Well, if he was in the hell we thought of, why wouldn't he need a swimming pool? Or a fire hose? Right? Could you send Abraham to get some water so I can cool my tongue? And James said to us, hell is set on fire of the tongue. Hello? It's everywhere now when you get it in line with reality. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. David said, I was in hell and I found you. Well, that's because he was inside him. So hell does its work to bring us to the Father. It does its work in every man. But if you don't know that that's what's being used to bring you to the Father, you'll never see it. And so now the truth is coming out about it. And my sheep hear my voice. The voice of love in everything. So what is it that stands against love? And you say, well, nothing can stand against love, right? That's what you say, right? But there is something that stands against love. And Einstein told us, I love Albert Einstein. We're going to talk a lot about him today. I've got the an exercise at the end we're all going to do, and everybody's just going to crack up. You're going to love it. The laughter of love is going to come roaring out of you. It's just beautiful. Albert Einstein knew the Father. I'm absolutely convinced of it. And he saw it in creation. He saw it. He saw it within physics. He saw the unbelievable, unlimited love of the Father within physics and talked to us about it. It's beautiful. So yesterday, Albert said that man is caught up in a stubborn illusion. A very stubborn, persistent illusion. And today we're going to identify that illusion. What's at the heart of that illusion? So he said it was very stubborn, and for sure it's an illusion. But that's why it's stubborn, because we believe it. We're convinced of it, because everything in the world coming into your eyes and through your ears is telling you something's not right. Something's not right. So what are you complaining about? Now, listen, I don't want to throw the Facebook people under the bus, but I do happen to go in there and sneak and read some of their posts. And sometimes I see hell speaking. You know who you are. You know who you are. And I think, Father, they don't know what they're saying. But they'll say, I am, and I know love, and I understand love, but it's still all up here, see? Because if you're judging anything in this world to any degree, you don't understand what love is. Love is in order. Nothing's out of order when judgment disappears from your life. And so this whole ministry was based on the revelation of understanding righteous judgment. We've talked about it a lot. Jesus said, judge not by the appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Then in Psalms, there's many wonderful verses that says, the Father of love is judging the world in righteousness and the people with equity. Well, God, what the hell's wrong with you? Don't you see all this mayhem? He says, no, all I see is love. All I see is myself in every man. And that's the work that has to take place. Because everything coming towards you isn't saying that. It isn't. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Wonderful revelation. And I'm not bragging at all. All of us bring truth to the table. Every one of us is the revelation of love. But I've never heard anyone speak it. Now, it can be talked about in other avenues and mean similar things. But before we were born, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. You weren't even ungodly yet, and he died for you. So what's your problem? You see, why can't you believe that for your neighbor? Huh? Because we're trapped in time. We think something has to happen right now. And it's none of your business when your neighbor sees revelation. Your only job is to love them where they're at. They need to see love. That's what they need to see. Well, how are they going to see love if you're barking at them, trying to correct them all the time? Huh? I've got one guy on the Facebook, and he's talking about love, and then he was bitching and complaining about rock in churches, rock and roll in churches. Okay, well, I did it to you when we first met. She was listening to Michael English, and I said, you turn off that ungodly crap. Because I'd just come out of the Baptist churches. I went to university to Bob Jones. Whew. That's the deepest hell I've ever been in. They judge all the other Baptists. None of the Baptists make it in with Bob Jones. I'm just telling you. Anybody know anything about Bob Jones? Huh?
Paint the blue sidewalks.
Tough. It's tough, buddy. I'll tell you, it's tough. I went there for a year, and man, Whew, doggies. Thank the Lord. I went through that hell and got out of it. So Einstein, here we go again. He talks about the illusion again in a different way. But he gets to the heart of the illusion right here. And this is what he said. The distinction between the past, the present, and the future is an illusion. And a very stubborn illusion. Now, those of you who would like to really listen to a lot of this in detail, and I've got to admit, it's beautiful and wonderful, you can go on our website at unionlife.org and look for the series Lost in Time. And there's 5 or 6 messages in there that lead you up to this revelation. So we obviously can't do that today, but we're going to highlight it for sure. So again, he said the distinction between the past, present, and future is an illusion. And he saw it. Within creation, he saw it. And he said it's very stubborn. Now, if you're convinced it's real, then you're stubborn about it, aren't you? And then everybody argues about their definition of passing time. So, I said in another Facebook post, passing time and fear are twins. They're married. And so this little section we're going to call the fear of passing time. So we've talked about how time only exists because of fear. And there are some people that said, well, that's cool and that's right, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we don't realize every time we become anxious about the least little thing, the clock starts ticking. And I mean, the bigger the hell, the slower it ticks. Every time the clock starts ticking. Anxiousness is what? You're in a hurry. Fear is always in a hurry. It always is in a hurry. So where does passing time take place? In between our judgment of what appears to be good to us and what appears to be bad to us. Passing time and fear are twins. One must be fed by the other. Now, if you listen to me and you'll understand, okay? One must be fed by the other. If you're watching the clock too closely, it means you're afraid you're going to run out of time. So if you believe in one, you automatically believe in the other. But Jesus said, time is fulfilled. He said, fear not, I'm with you. Now if you believe that everything that comes into your life is for you, and you're not afraid of it anymore, you won't be anxious about it anymore, will you? You'll get that clock from hanging off your neck, right? That's pushing you into anxiousness. Now, I'm not saying show up to every meeting an hour late now, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the pressure and the anxiousness of time that time creates for us. Now, within that series, Lost in Time, there was a beautiful story, and there's been a lot said about Scripture and how it's used as a sledgehammer, and I totally agree with that. A religious man always uses Scripture as a sledgehammer, every time. But I love the stories within Scripture. I'm talking about the stories and the parables, because Whether they happened or not, literally, doesn't matter. If you don't get the spiritual meaning, quit arguing about. I was in this long, drawn-out argument when I was within the preterist group, and we're not going to go there. But they were arguing about the flood, and it couldn't have been global, and it had to be local, and all these things. Well, nobody gives a crap, okay? The whole story was an allegory. And that's how they communicated back then. They sit around the fire and told stories. And the stories meant something spiritually. So that's the story we want to hear. We're not going to argue about the details of what might have took place in passing time. It's a waste. Quit doing it. But the story of Noah is a love story to tell man about why he's here. And not too many people understand why we're here. I've had many people say, why are we still here? Why are we here? Because love has to crucify your man within yourself in time. Love has to be crucified in you for you to love the world. You are love, and you won't know it until you become crucified to the old man. You'll never know it. And so, within the story, just a short abbreviated version, it says every man must swim through the ocean of time. Every man. To come to himself. To come to know himself. Every man must swim through the ocean of time. So quit stepping on people's swim lesson. Every man must do it. And whether that ends here or in the next realm, it doesn't matter to me. My only task is to stop judging the world and love the world like the Father within me loves the world. I've not come to judge the world, but to save the world from itself. And so the only thing you need saved from is from yourself. That's it. Quit correcting other people. And we're tempted. We think when truth comes to us, we can't wait to tell somebody else, but you just heard it yourself. Why don't you let it sit there for a while? Okay? But the ego wants to go tell somebody about it because we want to correct everybody with it. Well, my neighbor doesn't know that. I think I'm going to go down and have some coffee and beat him over the head with it. You just heard it 5 minutes ago. Why don't you shut the hell up? Let it percolate for a little while. Son of a bitch, I'm telling you. Because that's what you do. You just start bitching. You start bitching love at people. We do. I'm just telling you, especially if you had any schooling at all. I mean, that's all we did in Bible school, sit around and argue all the time. They call it apologetics. That's an oxymoron. Just a bunch of arrogant egos barking at each other. And if a few agree with one another, they form a group. Right? That's what how the church began. That's how religion begins. So, what happens to you when this peace that passes all understanding comes to you without fear, because that's when it's there. That's when it makes its home in you. A peace that passes what? All understanding of our judgment. All this crap that's been coming off our tongue, off our lips. What happens to you? I'm going to tell you. You've experienced a stab of it, like C.S. Lewis said at times. You've experienced it. What did it feel like? There was all of a sudden a huge release within your spirit that brought you peace, and you had a feeling that there were no worries. You had a feeling. And you didn't want to leave that place. You certainly weren't in a hurry to leave it, right? You weren't in a hurry to leave that place, that feeling you had. It's almost like falling back in the most beautiful bed of flowers, in the most pristine place, in the middle of the day, and you had a feeling within you like it could never end. That's what peace feels like. That's what it's like to enter a place of timeless peace. It was timeless. Have you ever said to yourself, time flies by? You're usually so enthralled by where you're at that you forget all about it, and you're usually enjoying yourself. It's usually a good time. So the belief in passing time has another buddy, okay? And it's the judgment of appearances that produces fear in your life. The judgment of appearances is a bridge to fear. So, somewhere in time, there's a stubborn illusion, a misunderstanding of what life is, and it cycles over and over and over again. And it is the realm of hell and death. So you die to this peace that passes all understanding. You've gotten glimpses of it, but it was fleeting, and you didn't know why. We didn't know why, because the cares of the world come in and start choking it out, because we're judging the cares of the world. The cares of the world are our judgment. And we don't understand that love and life are eternal. And they can't change. They can't ever change. Reality is changeless. So man, in his belief, finds himself then in separation. Begins to pray to a god to alter the appearances, Santa Claus. And we're hurled into outer darkness where the clock becomes your enemy. Because there's never enough time. Never. So there's a verse. There's many verses, but there was one verse the translators forgot to twist around. It said, "And the children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness where there was gnashing and wailing." Wailing and then gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom? Hello? We had a whole lesson on that. Do you remember? Yeah. It was called outer darkness. So when do we go into outer darkness? When the clock starts ticking, and then fear comes along right behind it, and anxiousness, and then there's trouble right here at River City. And that's all you can see. It consumes you. The least little worry will steal your peace. The least little thing. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it becomes the great dragon in all men. So Jesus said to you, he said to everyone, "I am the first and the last." So in between the first and the last, we get trapped in fear because of passing time. Because we think something's out of order, and we run around with our tongue and try to correct it and pray to a God that doesn't exist about it. And we think because we see change, he might have heard me once or twice. But God's not a respecter of persons. And he has no partiality. Probably one of the biggest gods out there, one of the biggest idols out there, and graven images, is the God of health. And people call him Jesus today. I get requests. They still believe in a man 2,000 years ago that ran around and healed people from their unbelief. It wasn't about the physical. He was the Word that brought life to people. That's what he was. It wasn't about the physical. And Lanyon, I love what Lanyon says. So you're going to get healed again and turn around and die. What good does it do? You might as well just die and get it over with. Because that's what you're left with, is the fear of death when you're consumed with the God of health. It's all fostered by the fear of death. And you're never going to die. Love can't die. It can't go anywhere either. It's always there, wherever you go. And that's what David said. Well, I was in hell, there you were. When Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I unto the Lord. So that's where you find love. That's where it begins to speak to you. So that's why you have to go there. There's a purpose for it. But you don't have to stay there. Yeah? We've all been there. And you might walk out this door and fall into a hell hole. You might. Listen to your tongue. It'll tell you whether you're in a hell hole, a wormhole, whatever you want to call it, outer darkness. Why is it outer darkness? Because you step outside of who you are and are controlled by the outer instead of the inner. That's why it's called outer darkness. People say that word to people. Well, I'm not in outer darkness. Well, you can't deny nothing. If you're denying something, it means you believe it. You can't deny nothing. So Jesus said to you, I am the first and the last. My friends, life, by its own definition, can never end. Or it wouldn't be life, would it? Mm-hmm. It'd be called temporal life, wouldn't it? Yeah. Or short life. But life, by its own definition, can never end, and neither can love. They're synonymous terms. Life has no beginning and it has no end. That's why Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. No man can come to the Father of love except by me. Not by worshiping the man, but by understanding what he taught us. What did he teach us? You have to be crucified. You have to die. Michael Nevins has to die. And I want him dead. And I'm going to tell you this afternoon something that's very, very private and personal to me. Matter of fact, I didn't know if I even wanted to share it. But I'm feeling like I'm going to, just so you can see what it's like to leave the world of fear. I can tell you, in all my experiences, that there's a shortcut to love. There's a shortcut to life, and I'm going to tell you what that is this afternoon. There is a shortcut. I love shortcuts. I always take them. Okay? There's a shortcut to love I'm going to share with you this afternoon, that if you can see it and not judge what I tell you about it, if you can see it for yourself, if and when you see it for yourself, you'll say, it's finished. You'll say, I'm no longer afraid. You will, and you'll feel it. I promise you. So that's what's coming this afternoon. Stay tuned. It's going to start at 2 o'clock. Okay? So don't change the dial. Come back. If you got a soccer game, call in sick. No, I'm just kidding. So when we learn to let go of our lives all the things that we've judged in between the first and the last, in the passing of time, you will begin to experience peace. Now, you can't experience peace if you have fear in your life. Those two are not synonymous. They're opposites. But we run around, and what are we doing? We're trying to create peace in a world that has to die. Every man is in a death realm, and he's dying. And he has to die. Every man has to lose his life in order to find it. Everyone has to be crucified. Everyone. That's why Jesus came, to show us the journey of man. The journey of your man. And you're going to find that your own religious mind was the one that nails yourself to the cross. Your own religious mind will nail yourself to the cross, and you'll say, I've had enough of that crap. Stand still. Hold still. This won't hurt. This hurts me more than it does you. Stand still. And Jesus said, when that was all done, he said it was finished, didn't he? He said it was finished. I'm going to take you to that place today with a story that's happened to me. Okay? Now, I've had great success with fear diminishing in my life. Because I'm just telling you, with this business I have, and the properties and every, you know, you think having a bunch of crap means you're happy, and I'm telling you, it's a lot of work to have a bunch of crap.
Amen.
Okay? It's a lot of work. It isn't a cakewalk. People think, well, when I get this or that, I'm going to have it made, and it's all a lie, okay? There's turmoil within everything. So the more active you are, the bigger hell gets. And that's one of the shortcuts. If you want to find out what it's like to escape hell, get out there and get busy as you can, and it's going to show up. It'll show up in more things. So it doesn't show up when you're sitting on a housetop retired very much. So when I hear from those kind of people, I say, well, I don't know if they understand it. Well, I'm quite content. I'm happy with where I'm at because what? Everything on the good side of the wrong tree is in front of them, and they're judging by that, aren't they? But I'm just telling you, there's a thing marching in front of me right now at work that and I don't believe it's going to have its way. I'm standing and seeing the salvation of the Lord in it, okay? But it appears to me that it would shut my factory down right now. Now, that's a big thing, isn't it? It has the appearance in this world that it could shut our whole operation down. That's a big thing. We've just launched a new product line with one of the most robust and quality controlled companies in the world. Bosch, $100 billion a year company. One of the biggest electronics manufacturers in the world. They're making our boards for us now for all of our light engines. And we've got a problem with the lights that are failing in the field and nobody knows what it is. Just happened last week on Wednesday. You know, I mean, I crapped all over the place for a little while, right? And then the Father got a hold of me and said, everything that comes to you, Mike, is for you. Jerry. This is a big one, Jerry. It's what he says. Do you trust me? Do you trust me, Mike? I'm saying that to you right now, and I'm telling you, peace is flowing over me right now. Right now. More peace is flowing over me. Right now, just saying that truth to you, okay? Do you trust me, Mike? Yes, Father, I trust you. You're working yourself out in me. You are. So I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm going to believe in faith that He's going to work it out outside of time, right? I have to see the end from the beginning. I have to. So I believe it's going to be worked out. But in between the beginning and the end, I have to trust it. It's called a faith realm. And it says you can only please, faith's the only thing that can please me. It says you can't please God without faith. You can't please your own love without faith. It's a big one, Rex. Because if it has its way, right, we'll be out of business. Just because of the timing of it. It's the worst timing in the world to switch everything over and it quits working. Never had that in 17 years. Never had that one, Rex. But it's here now, and it's teaching me to smile and to say, I know you. I'm not going to let you fool me. So I'm going to share more with you this afternoon about that and what's happening within my soul. Because of it. I'm going to share it with you. And I doubt, I'm not sure there's anything bigger. I mean, I think sometimes health issues maybe can seem more personal and bigger. But that's not what it's in front of me right now. So, faith enters into a realm that is timeless, that can never end, and it's called life eternal. And the Father says, to know me is life eternal. To know love is life eternal. It can only exist right now. So eternity is something outside of time and space. Eternity. It has no past, it has no history, and it has no future. But the moment we begin to judge, we bring an experience into the present and begin to fear the future. That's why it's so stubborn. Because it's usually a big thing. Sometimes it's a new thing. But it's still fear. So this life that's eternal cannot exist somewhere else. It can't be something that's coming to you. It's always been you. It always has been you. We've just, as man, through the generations of man, have handed down what? The fear of passing time to each generation. To each generation. And it's so impregnated and crammed into us to be egocentric that we run around trying to protect our own death realm. And we argue about it. That's why it's so stubborn. That's why it's stubborn. So, peace cannot exist in that event you're waiting for, or that thing that's consuming you that you wish would go away. Peace never exists there. Life doesn't exist there because they're not reality. There's only one thing that's reality, and if it's reality, it has to be changeless. Eternity has to be changeless. It cannot be controlled by anything. That's why I'm so against people getting up and talking about their choices. And about their free will. Man's the only one that believes he's got a free will. And the only place free will operates is in the middle of hell. Because somehow you think you can affect change in the world. And then you begin to try to control God and send a prayer up of manipulation hoping he'll agree with you. Okay? That's a big illusion, folks. Isn't it? It has many, many facets. That's why the story of Legion was put in Scripture. Because it said there were, a Legion has, what, 10 times 1,100 men? That's a Legion of men? Those are all the things that you feared in your life. And it said that when he came out of it, he found himself in his right mind. Well, where was he before? He wasn't in his right mind for sure, was he? He was not in his right mind. That's what the story's telling you. And they found him at peace, sitting on a stone in his right mind. So man is completely insane. I'm not against any drugs they take. You saw my picture on Facebook, holding up a whiskey bottle with my hair blown in the wind, looking like Don King. Okay? Now, what I said there was true in theory, that a big double times three numbs your mind, and that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Because the more you think, the more you get in trouble. Jesus said, take no thought for your life. We haven't even got past the simple things of food and water. Why? Because you're scared to death you're going to run out of money. I had a great friend of mine who understands this truth. She's with us. She follows it along. And she says, my only fear is that I won't make enough money to sustain myself. Because this person's single and has no family. And they feel alone. No one's taking care of them. And they said to me, I know it's because of the fear of death. I fear there's not going to be enough of something. We haven't even got over that, folks. I'm telling you. I look at my checkbook at work. I do. And it has created fear in me at times. And one day the Father said to me, Mike, because it's got a lot of zeros behind everything now, right? I remember when we first started the business, I was very nervous. When I ordered my first international order, that was a $14,000 order, and I went to my dad, I said, Dad, well, if this comes in and I can't pay for it, will you help me? And he said, sure, no problem. $14,000. We purchased today, per year, $16 million worth of product. $16 million. And the Father said to me, Mike, he says, it's all relative. Just take off all the zeros and you won't be afraid. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether it's $10 million or $10 or $10 million, if you're not afraid of it, does it? Doesn't matter. It's all relative. Doesn't matter. Just take whack the zeros off, he said, and you'll be okay. So you're right, I think I can manage 100. I'd probably even go to 1,000 and not be afraid. But we start creeping up to 10,000, I get a hair worried, right? Right? And 100,000, I get nervous. And 1,000,000, I get scared to death. Right? We've got a company right now that owes us $1,000,000 and they just said they couldn't pay it. This just happened the week before. And again, I smiled and what did I say? Father, you know what you're doing because I sure the hell don't. Teach me your ways. And what's the ways? To be without fear. To stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Whatever's coming to me is for me, whatever it is. And you want to know it's what's creating these lessons for you. It is. So go out and get into business so you can lose millions of dollars so you learn the truth faster. That's what I'm telling you the shortcut is, okay? Go out and do it, okay? Do it. Try it out. Go and do it. Go try it. Because I'm telling you, it comes rushing in and hurts. It's not just one little pony at a time. It's a herd of horses. I'm telling you. And it's pushing love out of me. It's what's happening. That's what you're hearing. So maybe every preacher needs to be a big businessman, okay? I don't know. Sit around in a monastery and don't do nothing all day. I'm not sure they learn very much, okay? And I don't want to judge them, but I'm just telling you. Somebody sitting somewhere where nothing's going on, I'm not sure I trust their understanding of truth. Because truth comes out of hell. And someday, you're going to crawl out of that hell hole. And you're going to say, Father, I'm not afraid anymore. Amen. And I'm just telling you, I'm going to share that with you this afternoon. And if you follow the intimacy of that, you'll hear me. But you'll have to go there with me to hear me. And so hopefully, now the religious people will probably judge it. But I'm just telling you, it's beautiful. And I've decided I'm going to share it. So,
I'll go there with you.
Thank you. People talk about, well, you know, this is going to happen next week. Or I know some people, and this is going to happen. And usually it's about money coming. And so I've been hearing that a lot. It's not true. Nothing can ever happen tomorrow. And as soon as you believe that, you've lost your reward. As soon as you believe it to any degree, you're living outside yourself. Mm-hmm. To the littlest degree, mm-hmm. You're living outside yourself. Judgment comes with it. Nothing can ever happen tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes, guys. Everything you need for life and godliness is present with you. And he said it to Abraham, and Abraham was consumed with something he wanted to, wasn't he? And so are you when you're there. Abraham, I am your reward. I happen to have the deed to everything in my back pocket. And if I think you need it, I'll give it to you when it's time. But do you trust me? Am I going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord with these things? Now, there's a couple other things I'm going to tell you about this afternoon. I got a little herd of ponies that showed up, right? There's 4 or 5 of them, okay? And you know what I'm starting to do now is I'm starting to smile. Because right behind it comes unbelievable revelation. Every time. Because I'm looking for it, okay, now. I finally got that one down, guys. Because every time, and that's why I don't do messages every week. It's why we meet about every 2 months. Because in that 2 months, things occur that teach me revelation. That's where these lessons come from. They're all fresh off the press. We bring truth with us that we've learned before. But it's becoming alive. It has to come alive in you. And I'm sharing with you how it's coming alive in me. That's what I'm sharing with you. Every weekend we're together. Okay? This is fresh, new, active stuff. And it's beautiful. Because it's saving me from my own judgment. It's saving me. So now, you have as much life within you right now as you're ever going to get. So what happens when you start to talk about an event that might take place tomorrow or even 2 weeks from now? Is you're in unbelief. You're in unbelief. So life and love have to be unconditional to time. They cannot be controlled by time, but they are when you're afraid or when you're waiting for something to happen. Life has to be unconditional to the appearances. And to anything we experience in this world, or we're trying to create in this world. So I want you to underline the word anything. Write it, tattoo this one on your arm as well. Make a list of anything that concerns you. Do it at lunchtime. Listen, it's all for your good. All of it. Write them down. And then realize they're your teachers. That all of it is your teacher now to bring you into the realm of that's eternal, where love dwells. They're all your teachers now. If you keep trying to get rid of them, how are you going to learn? And that's the shortcut. When you realize, Gary, what? If everything's for you, then it's your teacher to take you into love. Humble yourself. Just humble yourself now, folks. Humble your unbelief. Quit trying to defend it. Raise your hand to yourself. Humble yourself so that you can hear. Nothing that concerns you can affect life. Not health, not disease. Not wealth, not poverty. When will we stop eating from the tree of what's good for me and what's bad for me? And judging by that. When? Realizing that everything that comes to you is for you. Huge shortcut. We're all going to take that one. We're turning the horses around. When we're riding the horses of what? Our experience. All these things that come to you, you're going to start riding them, looking for love around every corner. Teach me what love is, Father. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy love. I'm glad you've come. The man that approached Joshua with the sword in his hand came there to teach him about this. Joshua demonstrated he was in the world of good and evil. He said, are you for us or our adversaries? And when he saw the salvation of the Lord, he said, he fell at his feet as dead. The place that you're at is holy. It's not against you. It's here to take you into a realm of unconditional love. Jump on. Enjoy the ride. Isn't that beautiful? That's what it's there for. So, you hear truth, but you keep bringing a new yardstick with you every day. You want to measure these things based on your judgment. You've got a new yardstick every day because history's ticked by, and in your judgment of the appearances, you've got a new version. And so you come out with your new yardstick and said, well, this is right and this is wrong, and I'm going to teach my neighbor this because he needs to know it because he's a damn heathen. Right? But everything that comes to you is to teach you. And this is one thing that's made these messages so beautiful. I said, Father, I'm not going to share this with somebody if I don't know it.
That's right.
I have to know this. And for me to know it, I have to experience it. And it's happening. I'm telling you, it's happening. It happens every time I walk into that building up there, and I'm going to save it for this afternoon. I just got tempted to give you my punchline, and I can't do it. So just remember, now, every fear has its clock. Right? You see the picture of old Saint Nick with the clock around his neck? Yeah? Every fear has a chain with a clock hooked to it. Has something to do with time. Every fear has something to do with time. I'm guaranteeing you right now. Every fear has something to do with time. It's either something you want out of the future that's not here yet, or you're wanting for something to change that's in front of you. And you can't wait. And so time slows down because you can't wait. You can become anxious. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yep.
It is true. Every fear has its clock. So how can we turn the tables of the experiences so they benefit us? When you realize that everything that comes to you is for you. Your sword of love divides and sunder that thing that hinders you. And that was Joshua's story. It's in Joshua 5, if you want to go read it. It's a beautiful story. And every story in the Bible is a story about you. If you can't go in there and look at it and see yourself as both the hero and the villain, both, you'll never learn anything from it. And for most of the time, up till you get and realize you're not in fear, you were the other guy. You're Lot, you're Abraham, you're Joshua, you're Adam. You're all the generations of man because you've been taught it since you were born, how to be the generations of man. I said, God, why'd you put all that boring crap in Scripture? And begat this and begat that. Because it's the generations of unbelief. That's what it's for. And it starts out in the New Testament with it again. And Jesus came into the generations of man. The moment he was born, he entered into hell and showed us the way out and said, you must follow me every step.
Yep.
So that blows a big hole in the vicarious atonement, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Blows a huge hole in that. You must follow every step. You must. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not a physical thing that has to happen to you. That's what we're talking about in vicarious. You have to die spiritually. The sin man, you've got to nail your sin man to the cross and reckon it dead.
Mm-hmm.
Reckon it dead. Rex Shafter's got to die. Now, I'm not going to tell Rex that because I love him. But Rex has to tell himself that. Every man, this is a journey you have to take alone, folks. You can take no one with you. You've got to take it alone. Have to. Because you got somebody beside you, he's going to be comparing his journey with yours, and you're going to fight over it. Well, bless God, I'm ahead of you, you bastard. Why don't you catch up, you know? You're just ignorant. It's true. Men always argue. I mean, I was in a meeting once, and I was talking about some suffering I'd went through, and there were two or three people in there who couldn't wait till I shut the hell up because they wanted to tell me their story. And theirs was bigger than mine. Okay? I said, okay, you win. It's okay. You win. You win. No man can shut up. They aren't listening to you because they got to tell theirs. Yep. It's all the chatter going on. So you carry this yardstick around with you. And it's how you size up the world. The yardstick of judgment. So truth begins to reveal itself through your experience when you're looking for love in all the right places. That's eternal life. Your judgment of whether the experience is good or bad never reveals truth to you. Ever. If it's all for you, it will begin to teach you. And you'll welcome it. You'll begin to welcome it. And when you welcome it, there won't be any fear in it. Now, it's going to look insane to man. And you'll think, geez, am I nuts or what? You will. But when it comes, I'm just telling you, it's got its reward with it. So you've believed in God your whole life. But when your version of good comes towards you, your version, you were thankful. And when something comes to you that appears evil or difficult and appears to be against you, that appears to be bad news, you instantly begin to pray to an idol to get rid of it. You thanked your idol when it looked good, and you prayed to your idol when it looked bad. Who in the world, what arrogance is it to think that eternal, changeless omnipresence is going to come down and help you with your little problem? We think God's at a computer. We do. Our God's at a computer. Well, what's the hell he going to do during football games when there's Christians on both sides of the team? And they're all praying, God, give me the victory today. And they get all done. Thank God. We won. The bastards lost. We won. See how crazy that is? Ray Lewis, you know, he won the Super Bowl. I just want to thank God for all my abilities, and I knew he was with us, and I knew he was going to give me one more run, you know. But San Francisco's 49ers, I guess there are no Christians on their team, okay? They got too many heathens on that side. See, that's the deal. You know what I'm saying? Or they didn't pray hard enough, right? Or they didn't fast for 8 days like I did. Isn't it funny? It is funny, isn't it? Because we've done the same damn thing. That's what makes it funny.
That's why we see it.
So we believe in a God we can manipulate. Geez, the poor guy, what's he going to do? Just as something as simple as a football game, what's the poor God going to do? What if they're even now? What if they got the same amount of Christians on each side and they all fast the same exact time? He's in a dilemma, isn't he? He's going to close his eyes, you know. Okay, you win. He's got carpal tunnel for sure, if he's running a computer, doesn't he? In this realm of judgment, we've created the God of reward and punishment. Mm-hmm. We have. The God of wrath, we've created. So when you see wrath in Scripture, it's man's God. Mm-hmm. It's not the true God. Yep. Wrath comes out from us into the world. Because we're sitting on God's throne, judging the world. We are. We are God's throne. And so the wrath of God goes out into the world through us because of our unbelief. Can you believe that? That's an unbelievable revelation. I don't want you to do too much with it right now, but I'm beginning to see that. It's just starting to squeak out and I hear it. And I'm going, holy smokes, that's going to really push the religious people away. You are the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When will you believe it? And the Father's love, it's a simple formula. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to study Scripture to know your love. You are love. And then you become sensitive to the things that aren't love. And you begin to slow the ponies down. Pull the brakes up. Whoa, pony. When you start hearing, this is why it says, life and death are on the lips, on the tongue. We speak life and death through the tongue, don't we? It doesn't create anything. It creates a stubborn illusion. See? Do you see how big this illusion is? It's why it's called the great dragon in Revelation. Because you get a few thousand people together and it's huge. But they can't even agree on what carpet to put in the sanctuary. And they split. I'm not kidding you. I was in a church where they split because we ended up with purple carpet in the sanctuary. We're not Catholic. They wanted blue, you know. I liked both of them. I said, well, both look good to me. Just pick one, you know. That one. So, man, his definition of God can never be right, and it's why it says in Scripture, no man can ever see the true God. As long as you believe you're a man, your view of God is wrong. And why is that? Because there's separation there, see? And that's why I say when you believe you're a man that makes the right choices, it means you're separate from the Father. And you're going to control God. You're going to decide. See? It's all separation. You don't know that you're one. You don't. You can't speak those words or words of death. There isn't one choice that you ever made that's changed love. Not one. Not one choice has ever changed love. Your ego thinks you have, but it's always been there. It's never changed. Not one. In the appearance world, in the realm of hell and destruction, you believe you're doing something that changes something, and it's never true. You're returning to what you were before the foundation of the world of judgment of right and wrong. That's what you're returning to. Something that's always been there, that's eternal. And if it's eternal, it has to be changeless. It can't change. Because you're taught what you do, and I'm telling you right now, what you do is you're talking about what you do and what God does. And you're in an illusion, and this God ain't real. So you create a God that matches up to what you do. No such God. Never has been. Well, when you see this, all of your history disappears. All of it disappears. All of it disappears. And you see that it was all to bring you to this revelation of something that has no beginning and has no end. And it's always been true about you. So you can forgive yourself. Everything in your journey has been meant to bring you to love. Don't judge it. Don't brag about it. I controlled God. I found God. I asked Jesus into my heart. No, you didn't. He was already there. You just began to recognize him. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's good. We're glad you recognize him. Just a little peephole, though. See, it's just a little peephole. But it's good. I'm glad my parents taught me about God. Mm-hmm. Right? There wasn't nothing wrong with it. They were just teaching me about the wrong one. Then the Pentecostals show up every summer. That was the God of hell. And if you fart, if you didn't fart the right way, you're going to hell, right? You had to tune it up, right? Had to sound a certain way. I'm not kidding you. They were the worst, okay? Snake handlers. They take the scripture so literally. There's a church today right now. Did you hear about that pastor that died from a rattlesnake bite? Because in their surface, they got a snake around them and they're dancing. And he's been bitten now 10 times and he didn't die, but the 11th one got him. And the son's going to take over and start doing the same thing, all right? They've never heard that the serpent was man's tongue. Isn't that crazy? But that's how we've looked at Scripture. That's why when we're looking back at Jesus the healer, we're way off base. Man looks at the works of Jesus. Love knows the word of his Father. Love knows the word of his Father. We're not here to get healed 10 times and die. Okay? It's not what life's about. Now, it might happen. But if you're still afraid of death, why don't you just die and get it over with? See, what good's it do you to get rid of something, but you still run around afraid of death all the time? And I've talked to somebody who's been through a horrific experience, Kathy Fitz, about it. And she says, Mike, I don't want to be identified as that. She says, that's not who I am. It happened with me. But that was the big story in that ministry. Well, that's what, you know, the reason you're suffering there is because of unbelief in your life. Well, how can you, if you're just trying to get rid of it, how's it going to teach you? If it's for you, if everything comes to you is for you, right? We're all going to disappear from this realm. And it doesn't matter how. And it doesn't matter when. It doesn't. Because life can never end. Life never ends. So we're grabbing a hold of eternal life, which is love, right? Our thankfulness even has been prejudiced because we're not thankful for all things. Just the ones that we think are good for us. Whoops. Stepped on another religious god, didn't I? Just crushed another one. What God are you praying that you're thankful for when you're eating from the good side of the wrong tree? So your discontentment with the appearances trashes you and it sucks the love out from inside you. Because about when you get done with your prayer of thankfulness, shit hits the fan and it's gone. Something that don't look so good comes and you aren't thankful for that one. You try to pray to another god to get rid of it. So you got two gods, the god of thankfulness and the god of fear. There's billions of those gods out there, by the way, because they all are certain subjective gods, right? Yep. Well, get rid of my neighbor god. There's a get rid of my neighbor god. I had someone from the Infinite Way tell me, if I start loving my neighbor without telling him, he'll have to move away because they were creating trouble for us. Well, they don't have to move away. I just got to quit judging them. And it's gone. Isn't that something? I just go by and say, well, there's love driving by. How you doing? We're waving to them now. We went through a little hell with this. Even this beautiful thing drug out boards with nails sticking up in them or wanted to. And she don't ever do that kind of stuff. And we sat out in that stoop and we held hands and says, honey, love began to speak through me. And I said, honey, let's let them have their own way. And guess what? All of the frustration disappeared in just a couple seconds. All of it. And we're just trying to love them as much as we can now. That's what we're doing. Isn't that great? And it just got swallowed up in just a little bit of time. So, what God do you believe in? A God that you can pray to? A God that you can manipulate like Santa Claus? So what are we doing is we're trying to drag this God down into earth and beg him to change that thing that's bothering us. To change that wonderful thing that appears before you that is meant to teach you about yourself, but it appears to be your enemy. Hello, Joshua. Thank you for your story. It appears to be your adversary. But the Father of love shows up and says, wait a minute, there's nothing against you. Drop your weapons and begin to dance like crazy people. That was the other story. Begin to dance like crazy people. What appears to be your enemy is actually your friend to bring you into love. Mm-hmm. It's your friend if you look for it, if you wait for it. This is the illusion Einstein was trying to tell us about that exists outside of passing time. Now you can see why it's stubborn, don't you? Because you all know it. Every man knows this. And we're coming out of it now. We're coming out of it now. So we begin then to experience a life that is never ending and is never altered by what you see or by what you hear. We have ears to hear but can't hear, eyes to see but can't see, but now we're beginning to see that nothing that comes to us is against us. That's spiritual seeing, isn't it? Everything that comes to you is for you. I've been listening to a Lanyon recording for 3 months. And I've learned that the word fear and death are synonymous. We heard last time we were together that death means to be somewhere else, to live in outer darkness. Death just means in our minds we travel somewhere else where there's fear. That's what it means. So what's the first thing that happens when we get a feeling of fear? Where do you go when you're afraid? You can only go one place, and that's into the future. That's it. And you judge it by your history. Mm-hmm. You know when your history is? When's your history? 1 second ago is your history. Yep. You can't just... And Jesus summed it up and says, sufficient unto the day is the evil of. So I'll give you 24 hours, but then let it go, okay? Since Jesus said that. I'm going to give you 24 hours to let it go, okay? But it's really 1 second ago, isn't it? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go and reconcile to anyone about anything you've done. You don't have to make recompense. You don't have to go do the Holy Marys. You don't. Now, if someone comes to you that you knew and said, you've wronged me, I want you to make it right, then maybe you should. Right? Maybe you should. You'll have to... I know when I give, because we do give, it has to be something where I'm led from within. I don't go in and read verses about it. It's something I know. If it's time to do something, I do it. I feel it. That's what I go by. It's never a demand on me. Love never demands anything from you. Right. Ever. Love never demands anything. So to be somewhere else. I don't want to be somewhere else, guys. I've had enough of that, right? You're afraid of that next moment that never comes. But you see stuff happening, see? That's why. We see stuff happening. We watch the news, right? So fear instantly takes you somewhere else, out into the future. It pushes you into a realm of death. And this is why it's called fear and death. And that was the last thing Jesus overcame. And it says, and they were all their lifetimes in the bondage of fear and death. But you'll come out. You're coming out now. We're coming out now. We're hearing the truth that's going to bring us out. Lanyon said that the fear of passing time that a passing second is not divine life. If that is you, if that's where you dwell, you believe you're mortal. You and the kingdom are separated already, he said. Fear separates us from ourselves, where the Father dwells. So you do separate yourself from God. But he's in here. So since you are the Father of love, you separate yourself internally. You don't know who you are. So now here's a hard statement. Jesus always talked about two fathers. The Father of love and the Father of lies. And you're both of them. You've wore both hats. So the moment you begin to talk about that thing you don't like, to any degree, that thing you find out of order, you become a liar to the life that you are. You become a liar to the life that you are. That's the father of lies. It's the mind of man that always rides something that's out of order. Rides it like a bull. Won't let go. It's an illusion, guys. It's all an illusion. So don't judge yourself. Don't judge your love because of it. Just realize it's your mind that's causing it. It's just a wandering mind. It's the wandering mind. Wanders away from the bullpen. Goes out behind the barn. Leaves its home, just like the prodigal son. It was always a son. He never was not the son, ever. He just forgot that the ring and the robe was waiting for him, and it was always his. Just come home to yourself, right? And quit defending the illusion that you think is you. Somehow we get all personal about those things. Nobody's going to stand up and say, "Bless God, I'm the father of lies." And your fake God's right there next to you, telling you, oh yeah. That's not who you are. It's just what you believe. And unbelief begins to speak and separate you from yourself. Right? That's where all the friction comes from, guys. You're just going around with and beating yourself all the time with your own unbelief. That's why it's so tough. That's why it's hard. And I'm promising you, there's something else that I'm promising is always true. It's always true, never fails. Because just a few months ago, another one of these snags come by up to the business. We're a magnet for stray horses up there, okay? And I've realized everyone's for me. Thank you, Gary. They're not against me. I've quit trying to beat them off. Come on in. Have some oats. Teach me. Teach me your ways, Father. I'm going to ride you. Come on in. Let's go for a ride. Right? Enjoy the ride. Dogs like trucks. Ride your horse. Exactly. Every time I found myself in distress internally and I became uncomfortable, I said, "Father, what in the hell is my problem in hell?" Because I knew I was there. I knew I was there. I knew what hell was. I said, "Hey, I'm there. What's my problem?" Every time he said to me, "It's your judgment, Mike." He didn't call me his son. He said, "Mike. It's your judgment, Mike. It's your judgment. What's my problem?" Well, somewhere back down the food chain, right? Because I was struggling with the symptoms, and it was 3 or 4 levels deep where the judgment began, see? That's why it's so stubborn. Because I wasn't even dealing with the problem. I was just trying to get rid of the symptom. And so I went back and I followed. I said, "Well, where did this start? Where did I, where was it? I was uncomfortable. And I said, oh yeah, it's because I wanted this. And I tried to push it into life. And I thought that was the right thing. Mm-hmm. See? And so I began to push it. Mm-hmm. I began to push. But life never pushes anything. Right? It's a receiver. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing if everything that comes to you for you, if you're welcoming it? Hello. My tongue just caught up with me. My brain gets ahead of my tongue. Life can never end. He said, I've come that you might have life. Well, you know a lot about disease, don't you? He said, I've come, you might have disease. I've come, you might have health. Health is a God. Whatever you've got in your body is there to teach you. And if it's for you, you'll learn from it. And it might go away. If you start learning from it, when it's done, it will. It'll do whatever it's supposed to do to bring you to love. There's nothing ever out of order within the kingdom of God. Nothing is out of order. Everything is for you. That's the secret, the keys to hell and death right there. And if it's an issue, your health isn't your issue, it's your fear of death that's the issue. You don't believe in eternal life if you're afraid of it. Because it can't take you out. It can't. I had somebody that preached. He was a great loving friend of mine. Preached. Well, God can't struggle with health. So it can't be real. You know, and I don't get colds, and I don't this. And it wasn't too much longer. I saw their head under a towel because they got a bad cold. Judgment. It's all judgment. Wherever you're at, it's for you. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything is for you. Everything. Everything is for you. And if you don't believe that, in death you will die. So if you believe you're going to die, you will. You will. Every man is afraid he's going to die, and he does. He does. He dies to everything he believed about life. That's what death is. Because there was no life there. And he dies to it. But we're beginning to awake unto the newness of life right now. Right now. It's happening right now, people. Every one of you that are listening. I had somebody write me last night, one of them I love. This is my favorite email. They said, and I just met this person, and I love him to death. He said, I can see now all the maneuvering and jockeying around that's went on between us has been for us to come to this moment. This was after last night's message. He says, I don't know how to explain it, but I feel weightless and timeless.
Cool.
And I'm forever appreciative of the love. I've felt that way many times, guys. I have. And the only reason it started to fade away is because the cares of this world showed up again and started to bite out of them. But I never understood how powerful it was to understand that everything was for me. I knew that all things were for life and godliness. I'd preached it. But I never knew how powerful it was till Gary said it in the last meeting. And all of us were changed in that meeting. Don't brag about that you knew it, because I'm telling you, you didn't. It happened in that meeting last time to the people that were there. And we're riding that horse till it quits squeaking to us. We're still riding that pony, aren't we? We're still riding that pony right now. I told Gary last night, I said, we're going to ride that thing and squeeze every ounce of love out of it we can till it quits talking to us. Everything that comes to you is for you. All tribulation is for your reward. All of it. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. He had to learn who he was. Can you believe that? Well, not if you believe he was God. Why would God have to learn anything? Every one of us is the Father expressed in love. No less and no greater than Jesus. Every one of us. That's why you got to listen to what he said and instead of looking at what he did with all the adulterous people that were around him that never heard the truth. They just wanted something from him. Mm-hmm. Didn't they? Yep. That's why you got to quit believing in this Jesus of healing. That's why you got to stop it. It's an idol. The God of health is an idol, man. Forget it. Let it go. It's a big one. Drop it like a hot rock. Quit trying to get something, get rid of something that's there to teach you. Take it like a man and love and listen and look for the love. Okay? Stop it. There wasn't one person there that knew who Christ was. Not one person. None of them were there when he died on the cross. Not one person showed up except his mother. They always show up. Peter didn't even make it, did he? Because he was in fear. Before the cock crowed three times, he denied he even knew him. Because of what? Fear. And you deny you know yourself because of your fear of the appearances. Mm-hmm. You're denying yourself of that thing within you that's eternal. Ezekiel said, I will put my spirit of love in you and you will live. You will live. It's a beautiful passage. So, I want to get towards the end. I knew we'd probably push 12, maybe a hair after, because we started a little late, but we're getting towards the end of the beginning. Aren't we? I wrote another Facebook post. From before time began, when we believed we were men, when we believed we were human beings, separate from God, love created you holy and blameless. Before the foundation of the world, created he them as sons of the living God, sons of love. He created them sons of love. His view has never changed since he called it good. Love's never changed. His view has never changed since he called it good. Now we are returning each one from his own house, each one from his own cave of unbelief, to worship the true and living Father within. As we begin to cease to judge by appearances and begin to judge righteous judgment, it will produce a loving kindness and peace towards all that we see and touch in every event. And every event will become your teacher. Is everything, I want to ask you all a question. Is everything that approaches you for your reward? Do you believe that? Are we going to walk out of here and believe that? Are we going to turn this video off today and believe that? Because it's going to expose your eternal life. Mm-hmm. Is everything that approaches you your reward? So now I want to do a little fun thing to end. This is going to be fun, okay? Those of you at home, you'll get to do this when you see the video because I'll have this posted on the video for you to try it. But you can go through it now. So I want to do a little experiment to try this right now, to show us that everything that comes to us will teach us about love if we look for it, okay? Everything. It will come. And I told you the story about Superman, and there's not a Baptist walking the face of the earth said you could learn any truth in a heathen movie. But I did. I heard an unbelievable truth. When he looked over his son's bed and he said, the son becomes the father and the father the son. It eliminates the separation, doesn't it? Eliminates it. So God is manifest in many forms, but we're all from the same tree. I am the vine, you are the branches, is one tree. It's not separate. The branch doesn't tell the head what to do. And that's what you've been doing with your prayers your whole life. Well, the wind's blowing a little too fast down there, Vine. Slow it down. The sun's a little too warm. This deer's trying to whiz on me. Would you stop it? You know, I'm being a little facetious, but you know what I mean. Fill in the blanks, okay? You're not the head. Love is the head. Love is the head of the tree. Love is the vine. You are the branch, okay? You're not separate. But you can be seen. You can be seen. And when everybody sees your love, you'll draw all men unto yourself because you won't be judging them anymore. So let's do this experiment. It's called the Einstein experiment, okay? Showing that love is always speaking to you, and that's what you're looking for, okay? So I'm going to pass this around to everybody. Let's see. You'll have to share because I... Here. You two can share. And you can. You two can share. Can you share? Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to hold this up to the camera when we do this, okay? I don't know if they can see it or not, but we'll see.
Go down. Everything is energy.
Okay. Okay. So, now we're going to read through this together. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. Now, I'm going to turn this in to spiritual revelation for you. Because we're going to do the experiment I told you about. We're going to start to use the word love. So I'm going to read it. You're going to get it. I'm going to listen now. Let's just look at it and read it through with me. Everything is love. So listen to me now, okay? Because you can't. I got to tell you what it is. Everything is love, and that's all there is to it. Didn't I just say that? Have we been talking about that the whole weekend? Everything is love, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of love to the reality. Match the frequency of love to the reality you want. Match the frequency of love to the reality you want. Your desires. Match the frequency of love to the reality you want. And you cannot help but get that reality. You can't help it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You can't help but get that reality. He says it can be no other way. This is not a philosophy. I discovered this in physics, he said. Isn't that beautiful? You can always insert love in and never be wrong. Isn't that something? This will deliver you from the stubborn illusion. Every time you got a problem, it's because you're not seeing love, people. It's everywhere. It is. I saw it in this document. So the word love is very dynamic, isn't it? You can always find a place to stick it in the keyhole if you're willing and not anxious. The clock's not ticking, folks. Right? The clock only ticks in the death realm. You need clocks, but don't let the clock control you. Okay? You got to have a clock. It's nice that you show up on time. Okay? But it's not your enemy. Right? So, thank you everybody for coming. We will see you in a couple hours at 2 o'clock. We love you. Bye.